We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh live from the G. Wider Plumbing Studios here on 1250 AM. The Fan, joining us now, presented to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola. He is Adam McKelvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good afternoon, Adam.
It's a baseball day. I'm glad we're talking today. It's 80 degrees.
Yeah, I saw Eric Name, one of our guys that we have on, talking Bucks basketball and used to be here at the station years and years ago when he was an intern, saying that people are saying it's a beautiful fall day out there. And his response was, clearly you don't know what fall is in Wisconsin. It's definitely not a fall day by any stretch of the imagination. And I've been inside all day, but everybody says it's warm outside. Adam, I guess first things first, let's get into David Stern, some of the comments he made after the season as far as budget constraints and all that stuff. You know, Tim Allen did his retrospective show that he does every year after the season on Tuesday night, and from 6 to 8, great show. And before he did the show, he came on to a little crosstalk with me and Gary, and we were talking about Stern's comments, and he dropped the bomb of he wouldn't be surprised if they were somewhere around $75 million for a payroll next year, and I was shocked and taken aback, and I pretty much said, they're at $75 million, it's over. Like, there's just no way you're going to compete. So then Dan Plucker went and started looking up contracts and so forth, and before arbitration or anything else, they're already at, like, $74 million, I think, right now. So I don't know which way or how much they plan on scaling back or what it's going to look like, but I just don't know how they get there, Adam. I really don't.
I have absolutely no idea what the finances are going to look like for this team or any team next year. And I think that's one of the really hard things going into this winter is having no idea what 2021 looks like. It's an unprecedented variable that we've never, you know, us as fans and watchers of the game have never dealt with, and the GMs themselves have never dealt with. I mean, I was looking at, we'll have a piece early next week laying out the important dates of the off season and, you know, where the non-tender date is and all the decisions that they have to make. And one of the things that comes up right after the World Series is deciding on these club options. In any other universe, it's a no-brainer to bring back Jed Jerko for $4.5 million because he was pretty good.
Jed Jerko. Yeah. For $4.5 million.
But who knows? I think they'll bring him back, but until they do it, I feel like I have no idea what the decisions are going to look like this year, because there may be an argument to be made of stripping it down for every team to kind of strip things down as bare bones as they can until they have some idea of what is the landscape for 2021.
Now, stripping down is rebuild talk. What do you mean?
I mean,
down? What that mean? Now?
I'm Come talking on. For every for mean, every man. Club yeah. to clear the books as much right. as they can, because you don't know what next season. If next season is another season without fans in the stands, how does any team spend $100 million on player payroll? I'm not saying that this is what I foresee happening. I am just reflecting my own just total lack of information about what this winter is going to look like from a player movement point of view, from a free agency point of view, from a rules point of view. Are there designated hitter in the National League? All of these things are so up in
the
air.
But Adam,
right
they
now.
Gave Mookie Betts a big contract right in the middle of the pandemic. The Dodgers did.
And the Mets sold for a bazillion dollars, right?
Sure did. The Mets sold. Yeah, that was shocking.
So, look, I don't know. I don't have the answers. And I
yes,
think
you
it
do.
Makes it really hard to predict what it's going to look like this winter.
Yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
You know, when you look at this team, obviously, and I heard Stearns come out and said, well, maybe he didn't do enough job at assembling this team. He kind of took the blame for this. And we're talking about the payroll. But do you think they run this same team back again?
No, I don't, because, every year, no matter what the backdrop is, there's changes. And there will be with this team, too. Now, they only have one free agent in Brett Anderson. So they could bring everybody back, but I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. There will still be decisions to be made. I think what they have going for them is that they have the makings of a nice pitching staff, and it's guys who are controllable, mostly pretty low cost. Brandon Woodruff will cost this winter because he's arbitration eligible, so his salary is about to go way up. Hater. But they've got the makings of a nice staff that's controllable, and it's not just for 2021. It's for a couple of years beyond that. So I feel like their focus can be, what can we do to fix this offense? And by the way, that leads to its own question.
Yep.
And I probably said this to you guys last week about, like, how do you read what happened in 2020? It was bad. Their offense was bad, and it's why they lost to the Dodgers. It was bad right to the very end. But was it bad because they did a bad job in making choices of who they brought in? Was it bad because they didn't spend on big free agents? They tried this platoon, this depth approach.
Can I help in here? I'll help. I can answer some of it. Look, Yelich is not going to do that again, right? Kasten here is not going to do that again. So let's start there. Losing Lorenzo Cain really hurt. Not only did it hurt offensively, it hurt from locker room spirit, clubhouse spirit, whatever. I mean, he is that guy on that team. And to not have him there and still make the postseason, again, I still think that means a lot to that clubhouse and council and Brewers fans and everything else. If you understand really how much he means to that team. So having those three back playing like they're supposed to be playing, that will help the offense. But the fact of the matter is, you still need first and third. And catcher is a question, too, because we still don't know about Narvaez. I mean, I thought he'd be more of a player than he was. And by the time this whole thing was said and done, I wanted Nottingham back there more than I wanted Narvaez.
Which says a lot, because Nottingham did almost nothing at the plate either.
Right.
So I agree with you on all those things. You know, they'll need to make a decision at catcher. I'm guessing that they stick with this Narvaez-Pena combo. If only because, unless you have lots of resources, it's hard to fill that many positions with, starting type players. And if you really want to get serious about first and third, you probably have to focus on those two positions with whatever resources you're going to have. And whether that's free agency or whether that's swinging some kind of big trade. I mean, I expect all winter we're going to hear Josh Hader again. I think we're just going to hear Josh Hader in the trade rumor mill until he's either traded or he gets all the way to free.
But wait, is there something to it, though, seriously? Because, is it just a guess that they won't be able to keep him long-term and that's how this is going to have to play out? Or do you think there is, some fire where all the smoke is coming that they've let out hints around the league of, dude, we can't pay him when this is all done. At some point, we are going to have to move him.
Well, I don't know if I would say it's that they have to. I just look at the moves that they've made, and, it's not that the Brewers have taken no risks, but I think the moves they've made have probably fallen into more the low-risk category than the super high-risk. I mean, they haven't made a lot of free agent signings that were these big dollars long-term on a guy with all kinds of question marks. When they traded for Yelich, they gave up a lot of players, but you knew you were getting a good player. When they signed Lorenzo Cain, that was a club record free agent deal. But, that was a relatively safe investment in a good baseball player. So I think with Hader, any long-term deal for Josh Hader is so risky just because, A, the risk inherent in reliever year to year, and then just B, like, just the way he's made is just there's a lot of volatility. From outing to outing, you see it. The velocity, you know, here and there, it got much better at the end. But in general, he really was one of the guys who struggled with this environment, whether it was the short ramp up, whether it was no fans, all of those things combined. He was not the same. You know, the numbers were great, and I give him great credit. But just the eye test, it wasn't exactly the same. So I don't know that I see them giving Josh Hader like a six-year deal. That just seems so risky at that position. So that's why I believe you hear his name, because if teams want to invest in that, they can, you know, try to make a trade. And I just think we're going to hear it forever. And if you really want to get a guy at the corners, because your system doesn't look like it's going to give you anybody anytime soon at those positions, that's one way to do it that doesn't involve going out and paying the premium, the free agent premium. If you make a trade, you can get a nice player for a guy like Josh Hader. So I just think we're going to hear the, I don't know if they're going to do it. I just know we're going to keep hearing about it because it's like, it's one of those things that makes sense on paper.
No, I get it. And, you know, and it does. And so they're going to have to figure that out. That's going to be a tough task.
Or it just keeps going year to year, which is possible for a guy like Hader. And I mean, that's also kind of the life of a reliever. So it's from the Brewers' point of view, Gary, they might just be perfectly content to keep going year to year in arbitration with him, and the salaries keep going up, and they'll battle over the salaries because that's what you do. It's business. But I mean, they know they've got him. They know he's, you know, when they give him the ball, he gets out. And I don't know that they view that as necessarily like something that needs to be solved. I don't know that they're bothered by the fact that these trade rumors persist.
I'm going off script here completely. And I love our general manager, and I love Craig Counsell and what those guys have done. Are we in any danger of losing either one of those guys?
Well, there's already David Stearns rumors again this winter. You know, every time the Mets make a move, you hear about David Stearns. He grew up with Mets posters on his wall, and you know, that's he's going to be linked to that franchise, whether he ever ends up there or not. So they already moved to keep him by giving him a promotion and a raise. And, you know, maybe they'll have to do it again to keep him. So I you know, Craig Counsell, I think, is pretty rooted here with his own background. But, David Stearns is a commodity. And, you know, look, I loved that on the final Sunday, they just clinched a postseason spot, and he comes on and he's talking sort of big picture, and he says that, you know, this team made it even though a lot of my moves didn't work out the way I thought they were going to work out. You don't often hear a GM say
right,
like, hey,
no,
maybe
never,
some of these
never
moves weren't great.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was sort of cool. It was refreshing. And it means that they're going to, you know, take a hard look this winter at the processes that led to those decisions. But again, I guess I keep coming back to how do you figure anything out? How do you figure it out when you look at Nolan Arenado's numbers and you look at Javi Baez? Horrible. And you look at the fact that the Brewers had this horrible offensive year and they had the second best team batting average in the National League Central. Like, I just don't know how to make – I'm sure they've got ways. They've got people a lot smarter than me to analyze all those things. But it was such a weird year that it makes me think it's going to be really, really challenging to assess decisions, assess what you got, and then make decisions going forward when there's so much more uncertainty ahead for 2021.
Yeah, they only left me 30 seconds because Steve ate up all the time.
We got time, man. You just do what you got
to
do. Go right ahead.
No, I like
we still
got to
ask the. We still got to ask him the 2 o'clock topic question.
Okay, well, let me get the 30 seconds out, then we got a 2 o'clock topic for you. I read your piece, MLB.com, on Corbin Burns and Devin Williams. One was, you know, the best. I'm just paraphrasing, the best player and the best pitcher. So that's a bright spot to me out of this year, other than 3 years consecutive in the playoffs. So I really enjoy reading that. I mean, can you sum it up? Like I said, you got 20 seconds now. I apologize about the awards, because sometimes people don't think about awards because you didn't make it to the World Series.
Well, yeah, these are our BBWA chapter awards, and it came out.
Baseball Writers Association of America. Yeah.
In the local chapter every year we give out awards. So,
yes,
you know, I did it this way. I split my vote. I think Corbin Burns was clearly their MVP. There was no hitter this year. You would have had to give it to Arcia, maybe Jericho, maybe even Yelich. You know, the secondary numbers on Yelich were okay by the end. He was on his way to having a better year. If he'd been given a 162, it would have looked a lot more normal, I think. But with the way it was, Corbin Burns was their MVP. And then, look, you know, that de facto makes him their most valuable pitcher. I sort of went in a logical way, and it looks like a lot of my fellow voters did too, because this is how it came out that Williams got the most, you know, the most valuable pitcher. I just wanted to recognize his season in some way. And if Burns is going to be the MVP, frankly, I didn't see what it hurt. You know, I'm sorry if anyone thinks the integrity of the Milwaukee chapter BBWA awards were forever tainted by the fact that we split it between Burns and Williams. But
man, Don't worry about that.
Great year, certainly deserving. And if anything, he was their most dominant pitcher. And I think you can make an argument for that.
What about Yardley, though? I mean, I liked him. I mean, I guess that's how you say his name. I mean, 30 years old. I mean, I never even heard of some of these guys before. So I think Brewer fans got a good taste of seeing guys like Yurko, Gary's guy getting top newcomer, seeing some new names on there instead of the old names. So I really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot, Adam.
Well, Yardley's going to be interesting because for a lot of the guys on the team, just to broaden it out a little bit, it's going to be, can you repeat the good things that you did in the shortened season over a regular season? I think Devin Williams is in that camp. I mean, that changeup was insane, and the numbers were literally historic, the best strikeout rate ever in baseball.
Steve was the first one to tell me about him. I never heard of him.
Look, now it's going to be for the guys that were in the good category in 2020, it's going to be, can you sustain it? And Yardley's 30. He's bounced around baseball a lot. He, you know, basically almost fell off his college team at the University of Seattle, but then he dropped down to that funky delivery, and it was all new to the hitters in the Central. And now next year they're going to know him a little bit more. So can you back it up? And I think that's going to be one of the storylines going into next year for the guys who did well and had some bright spots. It's going to be now, can you show that you can do this over 162? Mm-hmm.
I need some predictions here. You're covering the World Series, correct, for MLB.com?
I am, yes.
Right, okay. So who do you have in the NLCS, Dodgers or the dominant Braves pitching?
Dodgers. I'm not rooting against the Dodgers. It's one of the best teams I've ever seen.
So Dodgers,
like, just top to bottom, they're so good.
Who wins the whole thing?
I just have such a hard time, you know, going against the Dodgers, because tell me what their hole is.
Well, the hole is the history of them choking. But
there you go, Gary.
It's
Kenley Jansen right now, and what are they going to do at the back end of the pen? But I mean, I still would take them in a 7-game series. Dodgers Yankees would be a cool World Series.
I guess as a Brewers fan, you're rooting for Kenley Jansen to absolutely stink and blow up, and then maybe you can get Gavin Lux for Hader.
Hey, that'd be nice. Gavin Lux would be a good kid.
Kenosha.
He could figure out a position for Keston Hira and put Lux at second base.
Yep, DH, maybe if they keep the DH. One last question on the way out. I just said earlier, we're just going to ask this to every guest, including our baseball guy, even though it's not baseball. As a Packer fan, are you more worried about the Bears or less worried about the Buccaneers after last night's football game? You are a fantasy football player, so I know you were paying attention.
Wait, I need to pay attention to that question again. More worried about the Bears?
Right.
Or less? I'm most worried about Tom Brady's ability to count at his advanced age. As a fellow 40-something, how old is Tom Brady?
43, man.
43.
Forget the down at 43.
Now, I haven't had any problem counting yet, but I have noticed other aches and pains. So I'm a little worried about Tom and his cognitive ability. I am not that worried about it. As just the football fan in me, I am not worried about the Bears.
I'm not worried about the Bears either. Gary's a little scared about the division still, but I'm not concerned at all. I think the division's over. Adam, how's your fantasy football team doing?
Fair to middling. It's okay. It's Christian McCaffrey going down. Hurt me.
Hurt me too.
In my other league, Carson Wentz is my number one quarterback. That's not working out very well.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we're just having fun. It's all.
That sounds like a 1-3, Steve.
I don't know, but you just hang in there, man.
I did just get Big Bob Tonyan in my Jim Powell league. So I'm
there you go.
Trying,
there
Jim
you go.
Powell is like the commissioner and the best fantasy footballer I've ever known, and I'm trying to catch Powell.
One of the best play-by-play guys, because remember, he did the Down on the Farm report and the whole deal, and as a fan, loved it because that's when all the big boppers were coming up and we were so anxious. I cared more about that than I did the actual Major League game. And the other thing about Powell is he kind of has like a little bit of a reporter in him. Like, he was always kind of dig and ask questions and trying to get some news for the broadcast that maybe we didn't have before, and I always appreciated that. Good dude, man. Big fan, Jim Powell. Adam, thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. See ya.
Take care. No, we will not. Go pet your dog. There is Adam McKelvey on the Great Midwest Bank hotline of applying for a home renovation loan. As you're feeling anxious, breathe.
Well, they're fighting over a toy.
And let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today. Up next, Great Lakes Dragaway. Pick
Maddie, let her have the toys.
Lane is coming up next. But first, Leroy Butler is going to tell you where his official dealership is.
UptownMotors.com. UptownMotorCars.com. That's the official vehicle for Leroy Butler. I told you my neighbor bought that new Lincoln Corsair. I've never seen that before. I think it's called Corsair, man. Look at that.
What is it?
It's real. It's like a little small Lincoln. And it kind of, because, you know, he's like,
was it like your other Lincoln you had or no?
No, it's smaller my Lincoln. Yeah, it's smaller than the MKT because it's just him and his wife. You know, you got a bunch of grandkids, but it's just for them to cruise around. And he just got back from Iowa because he had to go and visit some people. And he loved that car. I didn't even know they make it. But you can go over to Uptown Ford over there from North Mayfair Road and just say, listen, I've heard you guys got some great F-150s. I want to find out, can I test drive some? You know, what's going on? Matter of fact, I want to put my car in the service department. That's second to none. Uptown Ford has been doing this for a long time. That's best-selling truck. I mean, come on. But one of my favorites has to be the ST Model Explorer. They got a lot of them coming in. The 2021s are in. So you can think about that, or you can get some great deals on the 2020 and 2019. They got a lot of used cars. They got some great deals, guys. If I trust them with my family, you should do the same. That's Uptown Ford. Tell them Leroy Butler sent you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.